Hello and welcome to the Optional Podcast, episode number 178 for the week of September 9th, 2019. The Optional Podcast is a show all about the latest in video games and entertainment recorded each week from New York City and bounce around cables and satellites all around the world.
Yeah.
And right into your listening device of choice, as always, I'm Paul Tamayo, and I'm here with my co-host, Cam Brewster.
Yo.
What's good, man?
What's good, bro?
I feel good today.
I do feel great, especially I just had an ice cold brew, so I'm like,
got the
wired.
I'm wired. That's good, man.
Yeah,
here's the thing. Here's my optional branding.
Okay,
our first venture, right?
Let's
outside of merch, which we still got to talk about. Actually,
I completely forgot about a merch meeting.
I completely forgot about a merch thing I was supposed to do like fucking eons ago. God damn it! I just remember.
It's on the way, y'all.
It's on
Relax.
The way. But beyond merch, right? Coffee.
I'm down.
Right?
Slap that optional branding on it.
I'm sure I have a relative out there.
Oh, yeah, we need to take that trip to Ecuador or something.
Yo, for real, man.
I've been dying to see that beautiful, beautiful ass country.
Yo, let's do it. It's
I'm
got
trying to
everything.
Live on the mountains real
it's
quick.
It's got mountains, it's got beaches, it's got rainforests.
It's got cities.
It's got cities. Everything.
It's got love. It's got crime. It's got...
Everything.
What else?
What else
you
do
want?
You need? Yeah, you want to have breakfast for $2?
You want an alpaca? It's got that shit too.
Want an alpaca fucking... I don't know.
Coat?
Get that shit.
I want some alpaca shorts.
Oh my god! For
like,
this, for the
you
winter?
Know how people wear leather shorts? We gotta come back up with like some alpaca shorts.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll make it a thing.
Yes,
yeah. I mean, or like ponchos.
Ponchos always fire.
Ponchos are.
But you know what? I always
so
feel
practical.
Weird when I like see people in ponchos because it's like it's not the. Right
I always
person. It's not the right person.
Yeah, no, yeah. I always see weird when I see
yeah.
I know what you mean by
them
people.
Good
yeah.
people.
Yeah, those good people. Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. You know what I thought of though? Another garment accessory. Not that I'm a VR guy.
Yeah.
So here's my pitch to Uniqlo. If anybody from Uniqlo is listening.
Yo, you already know I'm on the board of directors.
Yo, you're the, yo, for real. If anyone is, so I already have your ear, right? Here's my Shark Tank pitch,
I got
right?
you.
So, Airism, do-rags.
Fam.
So not to make
it's
waves.
Letting you...
So, because when I sweat,
yeah.
I don't want the sweat on the VR headset
no.
or like all over my scalp and everything. Especially because I'm bald.
So, all right. Yeah,
it's a niche market. It's just bald
it's
people.
Bald,
it's
sweaty
just bald
men.
Dudes. Yeah,
that have VR headsets. But you're going to be looking like Steven Seagal. You know how he always wears like a weird... weird
like a bandana.
Yeah, bandana.
Some shit. Yeah.
It's like, but it's not like a real bandana. It's just already made to like look like a bandana.
What the fuck? What is that?
It's
what
like those weird Hulk Hogan caps. That,
has,
like,
oh, yeah.
Him and Hulk Hogan got the market on lock with that
and
shit.
And LL Cool J with, the wave caps. Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe, it's, but I kind of want the flap.
Yeah, you need a cape out.
You need to, yeah, because in case it gets lower, you can sort of, you know.
Yeah, just.
Dab it up real quick. Maybe get your mustache
yeah.
and then, like, put it back, flap it back over your shoulder. So that's my pitch.
The do-rag market is very competitive right now. So, you know, silkies are in. So maybe the Airism ones might, you know, also it could probably let your waves breathe. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
That some
multi-purpose.
There's some science in that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
It makes sense.
Just an idea, Uniqlo.
I can't get waves anymore because I'm going bald, so it's fine.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah.
See? I've tweeted this like maybe 10 years ago.
What's that?
Has Twitter been out 10 years? Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, over 10 years.
When we first got Twitter. But I was talking about I need a beard wave cap.
A beard?
Yeah, because I'm trying to
bib?
Get, yeah. I'm trying to get waves on my beard, man. I want that. Or I need a...
How does it work?
Oh, a beard Jerry curl.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just juicy.
Just juicy, dog.
Shirt soaked.
See, then you need a bib. You need an Airism bib, and I got you covered.
There you go, exactly.
Damn.
It's like,
all optional branded.
It's, you know, it's feeding itself. It's like the Ouroboros. It's a snake that's eating itself, you know what I mean?
It's genius.
It's beautiful.
And also, yeah, I have tons of very niche... gamer ideas for sweaty dudes.
Yeah, it's just like we gotta make those optional deodorants.
Yeah,
and we gotta chuck it at all the people at the conventions and stuff like that.
You gotta make it hot though, because you gotta make it like you have to. We unfortunately, but well, here's the thing. Here's why we differ, right? Because I went to E3 this last year, and I went to like the Bang Energy booth, and they had a bunch of women on stage in scantily clad.
Does that
clothing.
Still work? It still works.
Yo, dudes were coming by the booth.
Just
picking up drinks.
Yeah.
They were tossing them out like they were, like, you know, like Trump with the fucking...
Yeah.
With the paper
with
towels.
The Downy?
Yeah, he was... They were fucking goosenecking it to nerds. They were just feeding them, like, open fucking bass fish, like, open-mouth bass fish, right?
Unpopular opinion. Just from that clip alone, I think Trump got a jump shot.
Nah, hell no.
You don't think he got a jump shot?
Hell.
You don't think he got the Larry Bird in him? Because them racist dudes be having the clean jumper.
Maybe for like a crumpled up paper in a basket.
Oh, he's like an office baller?
Yeah, because there's no weight to the paper towel. See,
I crossed my boss up the other day.
Oh, word.
He was standing in front of the garbage can. Oh, he even know he got crossed. I was like, spun on him. I was like, oh.
Behind the back, fucking.
Fade away.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so those are all of our pitches for gamer gear.
Yeah, man.
Game gear.
Anything else went on this week?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I saw Yeji.
Oh, that looked cool.
It was nuts. If you follow me on Instagram, I posted IG stories about it.
Where was that, by the way?
It was here in Bushwick. It was
funny because I saw your tweet. You were like, it was like at 10:00 p.m.
Yeah.
And you were like, Neji, tonight. And I was like, it's already tonight. What are you doing?
Yeah, I guess
I was like,
right.
You might want to leave your house.
Yeah, that edible might have kicked in at that exact moment. Yeah, no. So it was at a warehouse here in Bushwick.
Yeah.
I went with my girlfriend, and it was like, it wasn't just her performing or whatever. It was her with a list of DJs celebrating New York dance.
Oh,
so
cool.
We went, and it was like they were just DJing the whole night, like different dance tracks and stuff. And it was wild. Like, yeah. I don't know if you saw my IG story, but like you walk down this little like alleyway type thing, and then it had two huge like warehouse space sizes of like things. They had a fog machine going and red lights, and the DJ set looked like some Daft Punk thing. It was, yeah, I had a blast.
Those warehouse parties are really fun.
Oh, so good.
Like, if you catch the right one, like on the right night with the right drugs,
yes,
you might have the time of your life.
This was that. Yeah, this was the Goldilocks experience.
For sure,
everything
for sure.
was just right. Because like we went in there, and I mean, here's the other thing too: is like me and my girl, we went. Also, I'm like, you know, got my girl with me.
Yeah,
I'm good.
You feel
I'm
good,
not trying
right.
to.
Yeah,
not,
it's like I don't really need to fish.
No, I'm not trying to fish at all. So that's like the vibe you want to be in, right? You get that. You understand where like girls come from, where they just want to go out and dance. That was me and my girl.
I just want to put our bags in a circle and dance.
Yeah, for real, exactly. And so I did a whole bunch. We danced like crazy. We had a really good time. But then, you know, here come the drunk bro dudes, like, shouldering their way through the crowd, trying to like kick it to the one girl who's like with her friends and don't want to really,
so,
you know.
She just stands there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
You know what's funny is that, like, you're probably more. Okay, well, I promise we'll get to video games soon.
No, fuck that.
I promise we'll get to video games soon. But, you're probably more likely to get some bites if you're just like chilling, having a good time, as opposed to being like super upfront about like, yo, I'm trying to fuck.
Because also, it's like, we don't, isn't that like our dancing, like how we grew up?
Yeah,
where you like dub on somebody. Like, we don't even do that no more. No, like, the kids don't even do that. They just dance next to each other, you know?
Right,
so it's like, it's weird to like get in their space.
Mm.
You know, like, you see it, you're like, this is not it, man.
Yeah, you hate to see
you
it.
Might want to post up at the bar.
Yeah,
you really do.
No, for real, for real.
You might want to post up at the bar, grab a wall or something.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's not where women are, but.
Or just like.
Or just get in your guy circle. Do your guy
thing.
Yeah,
do your thing. That's
what
we do.
Yeah,
we go out and we, you know, we have a good time.
I see who I like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I see him.
In my peripheral.
And then I'd be like, yo, I got a girl. And then I stop seeing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't stop seeing.
You know, it's fun, though. Yeah, you can look at the menu. You just got to order from
it. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, but
you know what you gotta do? You gotta include your girl in the, like, babe, she got your purse. You see that? Just so you can look real quick.
Just so you can look. Oh, look, that's a nice sweater.
Oh,
right?
She got
sneakers.
I seen those sneakers. Those came out?
Are those the Travis Scott? Yeah, right? I
she's
think
like, looking at you
she's
like
yeah,
idiot.
Yes, they are the fucking Travis Scott.
I see that girl with the yeeks.
You picked all of them. That's the one you picked. So we had a really good time. There was also like a section where you could just like parlay, and they had some food, and there was another section that looked like Blade. I swear to God, Blade was gonna come out at any minute.
It looked scary.
I was a little scared.
He was
man.
Like, damn, I swear I'm not a vampire.
Yeah.
You took out your crucifix, let's just make sure.
Yeah, I was also like, come on, please guys, just let me go.
Yeah,
like, I'm you know, whatever. But it was a good time. I had a really good time. I'm also like, you know, I'm old and washed now, so after a bunch of dancing, my knees started to give out a little bit, so I was like, let's go sit down and talk and have a cup ramen. They had cup ramen. They were selling cup ramen there.
They need to do that more often, because like, that's a good sober food. It's cheap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They had like,
salty.
I mean, I guess because, you know, like Yeji is Korean and stuff. They had a bunch of like Korean snacks and goodies, so I bought like a choco pie. Had a good time. It was way upmarked though. But
yeah,
was,
of course.
I was drunk and all. Yeah. I wasn't drunk. I had one shot of tequila. Because it came with a yerba mate soda they had selling.
Excuse me?
It was weird.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
They got
on.
The sodium high. They
yeah,
got the sweets on deck for the diabetes.
Yep.
And then they got shots of
the deadliest
the deadliest drink, tequila, yeah. And then they got yerba mate to get your guts right.
That's why I feel like I was ready. They were probably sweetening and fattening me up for
it
Blade.
Was a nice little balance. For the vampires. Yeah, word.
Then they were like Daywalker, and he came out behind
I'm telling
DJ
you,
booth.
Something's going on with this city.
Yeah.
And Control, the game I've been playing this week, like confirms it.
Oh,
it confirms
what a beautiful
it.
Segue.
Yeah, so I started playing Control, like I bought it the other day, like some two nights ago. Cause I was like reading all these reviews, and last week I watched you play a little bit of it, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm back, Remedy.
Nice.
And I, for sure I'm back. This game is doing like the least but the most at the same time.
Yeah,
like it's a very simple kind of game. And it's just everything feels great. Like the movement feels good. It looks great. The shooting is crisp. And then the best part of my favorite part of the game is like the
typography.
Oh my god.
That's
that
my favorite
too.
Part.
When you go into a new area and that shit go, what font is that?
I don't know.
I need it.
It's so good.
I want
man.
Everything to be that
we
font.
We might have to rebrand the
but
whole shit.
Like there's like shows that do that, right? Like where like what is that called? A splash screen?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like a title card.
Title card.
Yeah.
In the middle of like an action scene, like they're still talking and then the title comes up. Like I think Barry does that as well, where like it'll pop up.
Yeah.
But like I love that. There's something so satisfying about that every time.
It's cool,
and
man.
It's scary sometimes too.
It's cool to see like a developer embrace typography. Like, and usually like I think for the most part most games have decent type and design and stuff. I really give like a lot of credit to UI and graphic designers out there, but like this game really is like, yo, in your face, the fucking hotline room or whatever.
It really is.
Oh, so good.
It's so beautiful. But my ultimate favorite part of this game is the like the collectibles. These like briefings and logs of things.
Oh, they're so good.
Letters and these videos and these audio tapes. It just builds this lore for this thing. And so basically Control is about like this FBI type agency on the surface, but they're basically controlled. They're behind everything supernatural.
Yeah.
And they're basically trying to control that, making sure that the public does not peek behind the curtain.
Mm.
And that's their whole entire job, I guess, from what I'm seeing so far. And they like go into like different things like what do they call them? Objects of power.
Oh yeah.
And it'll be like a telephone, and this telephone can link you to different dimensions and let you talk directly to another plane of existence.
Right.
And it's just like, what? This is everything I need right now. I love stupid shit like that.
No, it's great.
And then they'll have like a fucking jukebox or like
a floppy disk.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
And it was just like these have these like nuclear codes, and because they have these nuclear codes and it's so wanted, it's drawing all this energy towards it, and it's like, what the fuck? Who's thinking of this shit?
It's good.
Whoever's in this like room thinking about like these objects and like how they can build like lore on top of lore and then give you like a little piece of it and then but not give you the answer. It's you want you to infer and like just think about the world beyond that. Like, what's going on outside?
Yeah,
you know, that's the best type of sci-fi for me.
No, yeah. So like, I 1,000% agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
But I also at the same time am like getting, I'm dumb, so I'm getting like 60% of whatever they're dishing out.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'll read the redacted letter, and I'll be like, okay, this woman called 911, and all right, so then people came and okay,
yeah,
but I think like that's intentional, right?
It's absolutely,
because they're like they're just drip feeding you stuff, but then you're like, what the fuck?
It's
what?
Doing the Dark Souls thing where it's like, I'm gonna let you figure out the story, like you put your ideas into story, you know,
what's
where it's like, what's your interpretation? And it's kind of a way where people can like build these bones, and everybody's getting different things from the story. It's like
you could miss stuff too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I missed a completely different section until like later on. I like had to go back, and it was actually tied to a different power that I could have used.
Oh, like, shit.
Yeah, I missed the whole entire power that, like, you know, I'm sure, like, I walked past it before, so I should have gotten it early on, but I missed it completely.
Well, yeah, I went into this one area where I was like, oh, I'm not ready for this. Yeah. And then I like left. I was like, oh, this is too confusing. I'm missing something, because it's like Metroid in that way where you're like,
yeah,
oh, I can't get to the hole because I can't roll up into a ball yet. So let me get the fuck out of here. And I'll be back later.
I'll come back. Yeah. Yeah, it just does this really great thing where I want more of, like, I don't know how the game's going to end and I don't really know where it's going, but I'm enjoying every step of it. But I want to read a little novella of this,
yeah,
you know, like, or a couple of them, God. Like, I just read, separate stories of like maybe the previous directors, like a couple directors before Trench or something like that, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah. And I love how it also, like, it's really taking advantage of the interactivity,
mm-hmm,
part of the game, where it's like in the middle of cutscenes. It's also very reminiscent of like Max Payne, where like,
oh, yeah,
she, like, in her head she'll narrate stuff and she's like, oh, I haven't told them about you yet,
yeah,
and you're like, Are you talking about me?
Yeah. And then you find out, not really.
Yeah, not really. Yeah, and then you're like, what the fuck? Yeah, it keeps you on your toes, and when you think you got it, it just sort of like, nah.
And it does all this stuff with, like, all these, like, what do you call those? I don't know. All these, like, just different symbolizations, like, I forgot what it's called. Anyway, but, like, all these, like, different titles of things, and you're like, what is that again? And it makes you open up the notes just to look at, remember what that is, because, yeah, people will refer to things and you're like, I haven't learned that yet, so I guess I'll just keep going, you know?
Right.
I don't know, man. I just love it. I love it.
Yeah. I'm yeah.
I'm wholly fascinated by it, but it's just so weird.
And you're playing it on
Xbox One.
Oh, so you X.
Yeah.
So you're juicing it.
Yeah. I haven't really had any trouble from what I read. I heard it's pretty bad on the base models.
Yeah.
Like, it's struggles.
Yeah, struggle city.
And it's like, it makes sense because the thing looks gorgeous. This game is like beautiful.
Yeah, I think I forgot who in our Discord, shout out to the Discord. Yeah. Love the Discord. They were talking about like cranking up the settings and tinkering with it, and I was like, you know, let me bump this shit up. So I bumped it up to high, and my computer's running it fine.
It's fine.
And it looks like, I mean, I thought it was fine on medium, and yeah, now that I'm like, yo, let me put my fucking computer to the test, man.
Yeah, you're a VR beast, man.
Yeah, yeah. So I cranked it up to high, and it's running smoothly. It looks fine. I mean, I don't have fucking ray tracing and shit, yeah, but like, oh my God, it definitely does feel like a new next generation game. Shot Star Trek.
It's just dope, man. I just like the way they like slow feed like powers and,
yeah,
just bits of like the areas, and it's just so good.
Because a lot of it isn't like, I mean, some of it's new. Some of it is like, right, relatively new. Some of it, what you saw sprinkles of in like Quantum Break, from what I can tell,
right,
from what I can gather from gameplay videos. But like, you know, for the most part, a lot of it is shit you've played before.
And that's what I meant when I started. I was like, it's not doing the most. It's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's just really good. It's a really good tire,
dog. It's a good ass wheel. Yeah, it's a good ass tire. Yeah.
The Firestone up in that moment.
Damn, this is making me really want to jump back in, because I kind of Control is the other game one of the games I've also been playing.
Yeah.
But after we played it on Sunday, I played a couple nights here and there on Monday and Tuesday or whatever. But then, because I got super sick on, because we recorded on Monday.
We did record on Monday. Yeah, because it was the holiday, right?
So I got sick on Monday into Tuesday. I missed work on Tuesday, so I was kind of behind. I'm still trying to pick up and like catch up, rather, and get back into my swing of things. But in addition to that, I've also been playing Final Fantasy VIII on Switch.
I was gonna buy it yesterday, and I was like, I don't have time for this right now.
I don't know why I'm doing this to myself.
I'm buying it though.
Well, I actually wrote a thing. So we have a thing at Kotaku that's like, every day, I love this about our site. I think it's like at noon or 12:30, we do a game diary where someone on staff is just talking about a game that they're playing, mm-hmm, pretty informal. Like, it's not like a preview or a review. It's just, it's like,
this is what's happening.
Here's a thing I've been having to, you're experiencing internally or whatever. So for the first time, I wrote a game diary, and because like we needed one on Friday, no one had an idea, and I was like, I have an idea, and I pitched it, and I was super nervous about it. But the idea was, so I played. First played Final Fantasy 20 years ago.
This is wild.
20 years ago.
Hey, old guys.
Hello. I am old. So I played it 20 years ago in 1999.
Yeah.
And I got it for my birthday. My brother got it for me for my birthday. It was my first ever, I like to consider it my first ever JRPG. Because, I mean, you could make the argument that Zelda is an RPG or other games are RPGs, but this was my first like JRPG, like Square Soft, not even Square Enix, JRPG, where I was like, oh, I knew about Final Fantasy. I knew that there were seven of them, and this is the eighth one, and they weren't connected. So I was like, yeah, I'll try this one. because my brother got it for me, and I was mesmerized by the game. And I wrote about how, like, at that time, I could not get past the first few hours of the game, because if you're familiar with Final Fantasy VIII, the first hour or so is like tutorial the game. It's like, here are a million tutorials. Here's the junction system. Here's how to attach magic to your stats, and like, here's what a guardian. What is it? Guardian Force, whatever. A GF. That's what they call them. Here's what they are, and like, whatever. And then like, there's a training section outside of the campus, and you go. And I could not get past like the first battle, and then when I finally did, I got to like the first exercise. It's kind of like Fire Emblem in a way. Like, you're at a school full of like, you know, mercenaries and stuff who are training to be mercenaries, and then you go to this city where you like land on the beach and you're like fighting in the streets. And it took me forever to get through that. Yeah. My older brother, George, I'm fucking I'll say his name. He got through the game. Because he was older, he had more fucking neurons firing.
His synapses.
Yeah, he was smarter than me. He is smarter than me. And he was able to get through it. So I just like kind of eventually let my save go, and I just watched him play.
Mm-hmm.
Third disc came around. I deleted his save. We don't have to get into that because I don't want to relive that old trauma.
Favorite story ever.
Look, I overwrote his save.
Just go back. You'll find it in one of the early episodes.
Yeah, one of the other episodes. In Toy Story 2 on PlayStation 1. That's all you need to know. So I had this like trauma with Final Fantasy VIII where I never beat it. So I never closed that door. I never closed that chapter in my life. And it sounds so stupid, but so the game diary was like, I never finished it. So in a lot of ways, when it finally got announced, I was like, oh shoot. I kind of got a little anxious because I was like, oh wow, I'm going to have to, what is that?
Tropics. We live in the tropics.
God damn. What the hell is that? So I knew that I was going to have to like face my demons, and I was going to have to buy it. I mean, I don't have to, but if I wanted to move on officially, I was going to do it. And then I was considering buying it. I was still on the fence. And then I think I mentioned it last week. Shout out to Jason. He gave me a code. He was like, yeah, I got a code for Switch. I was like, fuck. I was like, yeah, let me get that, because I want to play this game, so let me do it. So I've been playing Final Fantasy VIII, and I'm only about 3 or 4 hours in so far. But I am much better than I was when I was a stupid ass 10 to 11 year old.
It's connecting, like you get it.
Because I've since then I've played tons of Final Fantasy games. I played like, a couple years ago, the thing that got me back into RPGs, my girlfriend recommended her favorite one,
Kingdom Hearts.
No, hell no. I walked away from that shit. Chrono Trigger, and I loved Chrono Trigger because it's also like, here's the thing: if you present it to me in a way that is very digestible and I can play it on the go, especially, I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
And also, like what you were saying before, like coming back to like games, closing those doors is much easier now. Like,
yeah, dude.
And we live in the best time for video games, hands down.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you know, redoing all these games, you know, upping the resolutions and all this stuff, like full on like remakes.
Did I add that? Oh, yeah. Keep going.
Full on, like, remakes and stuff. And I just think it's wonderful that we're able to, like, get a second shot at, like,
these games. Yeah, no, for real. Because before it was, like, I mean, in the case of Chrono Trigger, she got it for me on DS. And I loved my 3DS at the time. And, thankfully, it was backwards compatible. So I just popped that, you know, bad boy into the 3DS. And I played it on the go all the time. And I got sucked into it. I definitely had trouble with that game. Like difficulty wise, not like, oh, I hated it.
Yeah.
And I would just like talk to my girl, I'd be like, yo, I'm stuck here. What do I do? And she would give me some tips, and I'd be like, oh, okay, I never thought about that. Cause like there's a rhythm, there's an ebb and flow to RPGs, where especially JRPGs, where it's like, all right, you gotta have a dedicated healer, or at least somebody who's kind of a dedicated healer. You gotta have somebody who's good with magic. You have to have like a versatility, and you have to know like what to equip, what stats to boost, which ones to, you know, there's a lot going on there. And, since having played all these other JRPGs in my backlog, I was like, oh, I think I'm more than ready for Final Fantasy
VIII. For the big dog.
So, and I am. And I'm kind of getting through it. There's still some things that I'm like, oh, I'm not entirely sure how this works, but I'm sure a couple, like, Reddit threads will help me, point me in the right direction.
Yeah, this game was always super weird because, like, my best friend that pretty much, like, put me on the everything back when I was in elementary school, he showed me Final Fantasy VII, and then when he moved, he moved a couple towns away. I would go to visit him like every other weekend and stuff. And he had this game, and he was already like really far in the game. And he showed me like the opening, and I was like, "What?
It's incredible, man! It's still kind of."
And in my head,
up.
It looks like it did. Yeah. Now, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, that's another thing. It's like, when they remake these things and, like, you know, up the resolution and all this shit, yeah. And it's like, this is exactly how I saw it.
No, for real. Yeah.
It's fucking weird how they can do that.
It does take a couple of shortcuts, and it takes away a couple of things, even from, like, I think the PC port or something. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was. Or even from the original PS1 game. Like, the original PS1 game had analog control. Like, you could move in any direction. Shit. And this one, you can only move in 8. Which is kind of weird. Sometimes you get stuck on shit. You get stuck on a bed or whatever. You're like, fuck, I got to hold up to go fucking diagonal left. It gets kind of weird sometimes in that sense. But the one thing that I do love about this game, at least the remaster, is you can click in the left thumbstick, mm-hmm. and it does x3 speed. So every time you fucking summon a GF, I don't have to watch the stupid fucking cutscene of Ifrit getting up into the sky and, like, hitting the thing down. I'm like, nope, I just skip through it.
That's the red dude, right?
Yeah, like the devil looking guy. So cool.
That was like another thing he showed me. I was like, what the fuck?
Is this Satan?
Did he just fucking fucking slam it into the earth?
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. So
that's like stuck in my head, like, for years on, like, and I hadn't played this game. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all still in there, and just being able to play it on your Switch, like, I was playing it on the way to work and, like, getting through things, like, just grinding, you know. That's the other thing you have to kind of get used to, too. I think you can also turn it off if you wanted to, but I guess that would make the game harder in the long run, like, if you're not actually grinding, you know, things or whatever. But, yeah, so far, so good. I really do want to plan on sticking with this game, because I remember, like, a couple episodes ago, or a bunch of episodes ago, talking about how I, like, started up Final Fantasy IX, and then a bunch of games came out, and I, like, kind of put it back on the shelf. But I do want to try to stick with this one for very personal reasons. Because I beat 7, I can beat 8, right?
For sure.
That's the logic. So the other thing I forgot to put on here, too, I don't know if you got a chance to check this out yet, because you do have Nintendo Online, right?
I do.
They released a bunch of SNES games.
I played them. Played a bunch of them.
It's fucking good, man. There's a good selection on there.
All right, yeah, do your thing first, and I'll come in with some hate.
Oh, shit, okay. I played a bit here and there of the NES games, but that was a little before my time. I played them as a little kid because they were, like, hand-me-downs from my brother and stuff, and my sister.
Those, they picked some weird B-sides, and it's like...
Yeah.
I guess it made sense because of the classic had a bunch of, like, the popular ones.
Yeah.
And I think that was the idea for this go-around, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think they still want to give people a reason to buy that thing.
Yeah.
I'm pointing at my SNES Classic Mini, but I didn't have the NES one, so for me, I was like, oh, this is cool. This is a cool bonus for a thing I bought mainly for, like, Splatoon and Mario Maker or whatever. Right. So, I totally forgot. I haven't played this yet, but they added a game called Vice, or I think it's called Vice, which I haven't. I forgot that that was what the name was called. I remember distinctly the Christmas where we went to go visit my aunt. She was still living in Queens, and she handed me a game, and I opened it up. I mean, I didn't know it was a game. I opened it up, and it was Vice. Mm-hmm. It was like the cover is so distinct. Like, it's a guy and there's a girl. He has got a gun, like, holding it up in the air or whatever. And I remember going home and playing that shit for hours. And it was so hard. I could never beat it. And it had a mixture of, like, you know, 2D platforming shooting type stuff, like, kind of, you know,
Contra-ish.
And then it also had, like, Spy Hunter shit where you're on the road in a car. So it was, like, really, it was a nice little mixtape of games. And they released it for NES Mini, for the NES Online, whatever the hell it's called. I still haven't played it yet. I want to check that out. But the SNES collection, I think, is pretty freaking good. They have Link to the Past, which I also have never finished. I've gotten halfway through it. I got it on my Wii U on the virtual console, but now it's in the closet collecting dust. I'm not going to ever play that thing again. But on my Switch, I'm going to take it with me everywhere, and I can play it on the train, I can play it on the plane, I can play it on an automobile.
Bus.
Yeah. they also have Super Metroid, which is a game that I never finished, that I want to play start to finish again.
Yeah.
Not again, because I never finished it. But and then they have a couple of other games that I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I mean, I love Star Fox. I'll play Star Fox again, even though it's, like, not great.
See, that's the thing. So, like, those all the ones that start with Super, I'm into it. The S's were on point.
Right.
They had Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario World.
Super Mario World 2. Yoshi and such.
Yeah.
That's cool, but the top.
Yeah, there's some duds.
Brawl Brothers, bro. I played that for 30 minutes. And I was like,
30, wow.
Yeah, because I was like, is this something that people love? I completely missed.
I gave it 2 minutes, bro.
Super Nintendo.
I gave it a solid 2.
That shit is trash. I was like, are you seriously pick The fucking this over the Mega Drive.
Did you play like Super Tennis or whatever it was
called? Play that yet. Trash?
Trash, bro.
Okay. I played Earth Defense Force, which I didn't know was a thing. Like, I didn't know they had like a Ikaruga style shooter.
I was terrible at it, but I didn't know that was a thing either.
It was actually pretty entertaining. I played that the second part of that hour that I played.
Okay,
this,
nice.
So, I enjoyed that, but it was just like I have no connection to any of those games except for those bottom row ones.
Yeah, that's like, the thing is like I, you know, 80% of it, 85% of it, I'm not gonna play.
Yeah,
but that 15% is like, oh, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I started playing that RPG, the fire one.
Oh, fire! Yeah, I know what you're
talking about. You know what I'm talking about? It was like, the dragons are coming here. It's like, I played through the first part of that game, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. I was like, I'm not ready for an RPG right now, but
it's fine.
Like, that type of art. Slow ass. I can't triple time that shit.
Oh, yeah. No way. Yeah, that's my new barometer. Like, I can't triple
It was fun.
Yeah, I agree. But I did play Pilot Wings for like 10 minutes. I was like, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but it's fun.
Bring us Pilot Wings 64. You think they're going to do a 64 mini?
They have to. No, I was going to say they have to add to the
I think Switch I would like online. It better if they did that instead of doing a mini. I don't think it needs a mini.
It would be kind of cute, though. Come on.
It would, but 64 probably has the most duds out of any console ever. Like, we remember the games fondly, but there was a lot of bullshit on that system.
Yeah, that's true.
For $80 a pop.
Oh, like, at the time, yeah. Adjusting for inflation and shit? Yeah, dude.
No, that was like the price.
Oh yeah, judging for inflation, it was probably like $100.
For sure.
Shit.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. I text my brother like because I put it in the Discord like this game. I forgot what it even Deadly Arts.
Oh yeah, God, what a fucking term.
I'm really hoping I bargain bin that. I doubt it though because my stupid ass brain as a kid was like that looks fun. Played it.
The box art.
It was doing a lot because you can move in like a 3D space. You can do the Soul Calibur thing. It was doing that early on. You know, it was like doing the Virtual Fighter thing. And I don't think there was a game like that on 64. So like that type of thing. But anyway, I would like a. I don't know if I want that. Small.
I mean, give me like Mario 64. Give me.
Give me Pilot Wings 64.
Give me Pilot Wings,
Wave Race, Killer Instinct's Gold.
Oh my God.
GoldenEye, of course. That shit would be sick if they put GoldenEye on the Switch and we can do a little.
Well, that's the other thing, too. You can play these SNES games and NES games online.
Online, yeah.
And like, you could add, like, on the SNES one at least. I don't know if you could do it on the NES one. I'm sure you could.
There was a two-player option on
the NES one. Yeah. But you could add, like, CRT filters looks like the old school, you know, how it's supposed to look, basically. You could do a pixel perfect so it shrinks it and makes it kind of, you know, perfect for the display, the 1080 output. I think it also, you can make the suspend points. So if you're like, oh, I got to, like, go. You know, I got to go, you can suspend it there and then, like, boot up another game and come back right where you left off so you're not dependent on save. I actually kind of wish Final Fantasy VIII had that instead of having me make
every game
fucking
that shit.
Yeah, like if you're making a remaster, let me save that shit
whenever
right before
want,
a battle instead of having. Oh, and let me don't even get me started. So I'm gonna try to quickly get through these. The other game I was playing this week because it came out with the 2.0 release after Nintendo Direct, which we'll talk about a little bit, was Tetris 99 on a 2.0 version for Switch, which is a game that I'm like 100% coming around to.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah. Because when it first came out, I was super harsh on it. I actually reviewed it for the site. I'm actually considering maybe even doing like a re-review because at this point they've added so much content that it's like pretty much an entirely different game.
I just want skins.
Yeah, I want skins. I want offline modes, and they have that now. Granted, you have to pay for it, so it's not completely free. But in addition to the Tetris 99 battle stuff, this has been around for a while now, but there's like Marathon is a part of the game now. I think the 2.0, I forget what the 2.0 stuff added exactly, but in terms of the actual like game now as it is, as I've been playing it, it has a CPU battle mode, so you can battle the CPU if you wanted to like train, for example, or maybe you don't have online connection, you can just do that on the train or whatever, or wherever you are. It has a local play mode, so you can play up to like I think 8 players in the same round.
That's
and like
cool.
Against I guess 91 other CPU opponents.
Yeah.
And then you can do local play against each other against a CPU opponent. So it's basically just different variations, different flavors of the 99 mode. And then in addition to the 99 mode, they have what they call the Invictus mode now. So I think I misunderstood I think someone, a commenter pointed out to me that, like, I think you've had to just have one a round of 99 to qualify for the Invictus mode. So it's like kind of filtering out. This is what I wanted originally. I wanted like a more competitive mode. And for me, it's tough. I've only gotten to third place. Mm-hmm. And I've tried a lot. I actually streamed it on Friday on it's on the YouTube. It's on the YouTube. But I showed off a little bit of like what's new to the game. They also added new skins and stuff. So you can, there's like a Mario skin, a Zelda skin, some really, really cool stuff. Yeah. It's so, so good. But the Invictus mode is cool because it's like basically everybody who's won before all together in the same room. So it's like, you know, the best of the best of the best with honors in the room. And you're just kind of playing with a higher caliber of Tetris player, which is 100% what I wanted. Because every time I play, I usually get into the top 10. And I mean, for like every half hour that I play Tetris 99, I usually get one or two wins, which is like not very common for most players. But with Invictus, I haven't gotten one yet. Good. And I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Because I said it on the...
Steel, sharpen steel.
Exactly, bro. Open your third eye. Yeah, I talked about it when it first came out. I was like, I want a mode for the more seasoned players that are like... Because, you know, you only get better if you're playing against better opponents.
Absolutely.
That's the only way you get better. And you know, I still have way more room to grow. Like, I still haven't mastered the T-spin at all. My stacking could use a little bit of help. Knowing when to, like, you know, be on the defensive versus the offensive is another thing too. But like, it's really, really good. I like it so far. It's come a long way since launch. In addition to that, a little bit of a VR corner here for a second. I played a game called, it's not really a game, but it's like more of an experience called Art Plunge that my girlfriend told me about, where I think you go through like four or five classical paintings. Mm-hmm. So there's like, you know, my girlfriend's probably gonna
Scream.
No, it's not in there. But the Mona Lisa's in there.
Shout out to Mona Lisa.
Starry Night. Okay. You know, all the hits.
All the hits.
I forgot the other one's called, but
is it Monet or is it Manet?
Oh,
I know my artist.
Yeah, you know your artist, bro.
Leonardo da Vinci.
He's naming the Ninja Turtles, bro. So what's cool is like you stand in front of the painting and then you like, you know, push a button and then you walk into the painting.
Whoa.
So like in one of them, like for the Mona Lisa, for example, you walk into the space technically, like, you know, a very like, I'm sure, loose representation of what it was actually like, but she's standing in front of the window and she's like blinking, she's looking around, and you can hear the like the world outside, you can hear like the wind, and like you're looking around, and when you move, when you bob and weave, her head kind of follows you. It's fucking creepy, dude. So then there's other ones too, like Starry Night. You're like literally in the field, you're looking around, like the sky, it's all around you, and like you can hear it. There's like fireflies going around you. It's fucking cool.
That's
man.
Cool, man.
It's really, really cool. If you have VR, I think it was like a dollar or something. Like, check it out. It's so fucking cool. In addition to that, playing more Tetris Effect VR. It's so incredible in VR. If you have VR, if you have a PSVR and you haven't played Tetris Effect, please check it out. It's like an incredible experience.
Yeah, when are you getting your Tetris tattoo, man?
I should, right? I should get like a little T something. Or something. Yeah.
You should just get the Russian fucking houses.
The houses, yeah, yeah. That'll be great at the TSA. I also play this thing. It's like more of like a movie. It's called Crow the Legend. It was free, so I downloaded it. But it has like John Legend, Constance Wu, a bunch of other people in it. And it's like an animated VR experience where John Legend is this crow and he's singing and shit. And then it's definitely made for kids, but it was still kind of cool to be like, ooh, wow. Like, you're surrounded in 360. And it's like this really, Oprah's in it.
The fuck?
Oprah's in this shit.
Oprah's doing, she don't need no more money, man.
And she was like hamming it up. It was great. Oprah, you did a great job.
So I love VR.
She actually does it at one point. She screams. So you have to like,
I love bread.
I
love bread.
You're like, you're waving your hands and you're like making it snow. It's really, really cute. If you have kids and you have a VR headset, I recommend checking that out. Cool. It's just super, super cute. Okay. Three more games to go. I'm going to go through these really quickly, one of which I can't really talk about. Children of Mordor came out. I think it's in early access, I believe. It's really, really freaking cool. It's a dungeon crawler, roguelike. I know that sounds, you know, like something you might not want to check out, but art style is so beautiful. It's just, you know, it's another pixel art style game, but it weaves a story of like a family in this house that all live together, that live by this, like, you know, in this magical alternate world or whatever. And, every time you come back, if you die or whatever, like the story progresses a little bit. So you're like into the dining room. They're all talking about stuff. It's so beautiful. It's narrated really, really well. The music, the effects, everything about it is so freaking cool. I actually want to keep playing more of it.
What is it on?
I think I'm playing it on PC, but I don't know everything that it's on, so I have to Google that. But just from the little that I've played, they also came by like months ago. The developers came by months ago to show us the game, and like we did a video on it. And from what I've played so far, I want to play more of it because I feel like it could totally be a Game of the Year contender for me. Oh, wow. It also has two-player co-op. So if you're playing, you know, on the same screen, you and a buddy could just like play together and do these dungeons together, very Diablo-like, where you have like, you know, alternate abilities, passive abilities, and, you know, the traditional like boss fights and stuff. But the world is really, really enchanting. It's so fucking cool. I'm sure some of our listeners have heard of it, but sure. Check it out. Also playing Daemon X Machina on the Switch.
It came out?
No, but I got an advanced copy of it. And we'll have, I think, Natalie from Kotaku, she's going to review it on Wednesday, I want to say is the embargo. I forget when it is, but we'll have an embargo. I mean, we'll have a review this week. But I also have a video, hopefully on Tuesday, for it. I'm just going to like kind of show you how it works and some impressions, basically.
Cool.
And then I got a code for Divinity Original Sin 2 for Switch.
Are you going to check it out?
I want to.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's good, though.
Yeah, I want to, but like at this point, like, I mean, this list of games that I've already talked about, I got to beat at least one or two games.
I'm sad that I can't just like sell the digital copy I have on PS4 and just get this one instead.
There's no,
that'd be cool if they'd let you do that, because it's like this is another $60 game.
Or is it $60?
It's 60.
Shit. Oh, you thought about it? Yeah.
I was like, oh man, I love this game.
What if you could like transfer over your save?
That would be sick.
Maybe you don't want to start over.
Yeah,
right?
No. I mean, I'm not that far in. I'm only like maybe 6 hours.
See, what's cool is that on Steam, you could transfer over your save and vice versa. That's kind of fucking cool, actually. Like, I can't remember any other game that lets you do that where, like, let's say... I also haven't experimented with this, but let's say I was like, oh, I want to play on my PC with the graphics cranked, but then I'm like, oh, I'm going to go away for a week. Mm-hmm. I'm traveling. Let me, you know, toss my save over to the Switch, and I'll play it on the plane, and, you know, whenever I have time at the Airbnb in the morning or whatever. But, like, that's kind of cool, man. I feel like that's kind of the future for games.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope that's the case. They need to do that more with console stuff, though.
Yeah, for real. Like, but just get it together, you fucking console manufacturers.
I definitely think you should give it a shot whenever you get some time.
Yeah, no, everyone who's played it has told me, like, yeah, it's one of the best things I've ever played. So, like we mentioned at the top of the show, there was a Nintendo Direct this week. They had some fucking heaters. Out of nowhere, they were like, hey, you want an E3 presentation? So we talked about the Super Nintendo games that they have announced. That's really, really cool. And there was also like, they're coming tomorrow. Like, it's like they definitely like Apple, Beyonce dropped shit like that day or the next day. So in addition to Banjo-Kazooie in Smash, Terry Bogard from Fatal Fury is coming to Smash Ultimate. And there are even more DLC characters on the way as well. This one I'm so excited about because I was like, yo, you know what's so crazy? I don't know if it was with you or with someone else, but I was just talking about Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE. Or I think it might have been with my coworker, Chris. But I was just talking about this game, and they announced that it's coming to Switch. And so that game was like a kind of a sleeper hit that came out on the Wii U. And again, not many people played it because not many people even had the Wii U in the first place. But it's a mashup of Persona, I believe, and the Fire Emblem series. So it's like a really cool alternate timeline where they're like all like, I guess, performers and singers and dancers. Like, it just looks so cool. I want to play it so bad. What else?
Deadly Premonition 2.
Deadly Premonition 2? Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is one of those games, like, I've never played. I never even came near, but it's just one of those, like, games that everybody has, like, heard about.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is a weird-ass game.
Yeah, for real. That's coming out. Assassin's Creed Rebel Collection is coming out December. It'll contain ports of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag and Assassin's Creed Rogue. Xenoblade Chronicles coming to, or Definitive Edition is coming to Switch in 2020. This one kind of came out of nowhere. Overwatch coming to Switch is a thing that it's coming out on October 15th. Is a thing that I'm like, huh.
Okay. I just want to see people do the motion controls and see how sick people can get with that.
That's true.
Just because of what people can do with like Splatoon.
Yeah.
Just thinking about like the naturalness of like the motion controls. It's like not for me. Like I know I'm not that guy.
Right.
But you know, people really go ham with the motion controls.
I tried it on Fortnite, and I actually really liked it in Fortnite back when it came out. Game Freak's town is now called Little Town Hero. Bethesda is re-releasing Doom 64, talking about 64 games earlier. And even older ports, Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast is going to be available actually soon, on September 24th. Super Kirby Clash is going to be a free-to-play game. It's a bunch of like different little, I guess, co-op games. What else? Some Luigi's Mansion 3's Scream Park mode. I guess it's a multiplayer mode. That's kind of cool. Some new Pokemon news. Animal Crossing New Horizons. Also got like a nice amount of love. It actually makes me really, really, really want to play that game. It looks so nice and wholesome, and like I can see that becoming an obsession for me. And then one thing that I'm super... Oh, so we got Trials of Mana, the remake of Seiken Densetsu 3. That'll be available April 24th, 2020. And then Return of the Oberdin.
Maybe I'll check it out this time.
Yeah, maybe I'll finally play it. That's a game that I'm like embarrassed I never got around to. And I know everyone and their mother told me to play that game.
Did that come out this year?
No, I think it came out last year.
Last year, right?
Yeah, I think it came out last year. What else? Rogue Company is a new team-based shooter from Hi-Rez Studios. We talked about Tetris 99. And then there's also Daemon X Machina demo that also came out. I think it lets you play like the first 5 or 10 missions. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It was a nice chunky direct, and I was like, so there were some things in that I was like, oh, okay, Oberdin, that's cool. I mean, Overwatch was a neat little surprise, but at this point, like, I don't know that that's enough to get me back into Overwatch at this point. But it is kind of cool. Like, oh, nice. You're gonna be introducing one of the world's biggest games to a much larger audience now, for like people that don't have PCs or consoles, that haven't played Overwatch for whatever reason yet. But yeah, it was interesting. Our next story is a bit of a bummer.
This is my favorite one.
Popular, I don't even know how to say his name.
Tfue.
Mm-hmm. Popular streamer Tfue's use of a racial slur could be his last strike on Twitch. So another day, another Twitch streamer having a fucking heated gaming racist moment.
I love it.
It's unbelievable, dude. It's like clockwork, man. We should really start a timer and start to like, we can like predict when the next one's gonna happen,
because it's just like, fam, you can't say it. You can't say it. And he didn't even do the
hard
PewDiePie.
R. Yeah, he didn't do the hard,
like,
R
he
one.
Did like he used it in a sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not them.
yeah.
It's so fucking funny.
Oh my god.
It was just like, I read the story and I just bust out laughing. I was like, you idiot. What are you doing?
Fucking dumb.
What are you doing? Because you know he uses the word.
Yeah, because it wouldn't come out reflexively like
absolutely.
That if he did.
Absolutely, he used the word. And it's like, he wasn't using it to describe someone, but it was just like, kill the
nigga. Where's he from?
I don't know.
I've never even heard of this guy.
He's a big Fortnite dude. That's the first time I ever heard of him, was on that Fortnite stream where they like battled at Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta know, you gotta be very aware of this stuff. It's like being at work, like, don't do it. Like, don't use it.
It's like, how fucking hard is that to understand, yo?
Yeah.
And like, I'm legit gonna start plotting out a path and like a calendar of like, I'm gonna...
It's been 60 days since our last MC.
This is the last heated gaming moment.
Yeah.
So you can start like projecting the
course. He called another player a coon. Back in 2018.
Oh, wow. So he's not new to this. He's true to this.
Yeah. But I mean, this one wasn't even that egregious, but it's just so fucking funny to me.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Like, you idiot. Don't fucking say it.
How hard is it, like, to. I mean, seriously.
Y'all motherfuckers killed that nigga. What? That's fucking genius. You
God.
Idiot.
What a.
He
what
was
a,
like, yo, somebody clip that.
Oh, my God. What a fool.
Did he come out with an apology?
Actually, I don't know. That's kind of where I tuned out. I was like,
he's got to go on an apology tour. Be like, look, man, I got to stop saying it. You know what? That's what they should do. He should be like, look, I know. He's like, I use it casually. If I was him, that's what I would do. I would own up to it. Be like, I use this casually and I shouldn't. I've been trying to like get it out of my, you know, like you got to go like that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Like, I don't know his heart. Like, I really don't know if he's a racist kid or not, but it's just funny that they keep making this mistake.
How?
Mistake, quote unquote.
You know, again, man, I hate to be the fucking...
Yeah.
Tinfoil fucking whatever.
Yeah.
Beanie. But, like, man, it really is like clockwork.
Yeah.
That, like, his manager's like, yo, we've been losing some subscribers. I'm gonna need you to be racist. On
yeah, I need you to say.
I need you.
Soft A.
Yeah, soft A though. Soft A. We don't want everybody coming.
We don't really want to offend anybody.
Jesus. All right. But actually, before we jump into questions, we usually don't do this anymore. But I figured I'd do it just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Our show is literally a listener supported. Again, thanks to Anchor. So, I mean, if you like the show, again, we always ask, please be so kind to join our supporter page.
Drop us some.
As low as $1 a month. We won't say. I mean, when we say it, I mean, Cam says it. You know what I mean? When we say the N word, Cam says it.
I say it.
You know what I mean? We know our lanes.
Listen, and I only say it when I read the news.
That's true.
I've been cutting back on the N word.
That's true. But yeah, so if you dig the show, head over to our Anchor profile. You can do that by going to anchor.fm/theoptionalpodcast, or if you're on the Anchor app, just go to go to our profile and hit the little supporter button. Give us a dollar. Give us a little tip in the tip jar.
It helps.
It really helps. We're so close to reaching our goal for getting this new little podcasting gear that we desperately need, because I have wires flung all over my living room floor right now. So, jumping into questions for the week, if you have any questions for us, please feel free to send an email to us directly at questions@the-optional.com. We would love to hear from you, or you can drop them into our questions channel in the Discord. Or if you're brave enough, go into the Anchor app again. Like I just said a second ago, go to our page and record us a voice message, which we love to hear, because we love to hear from y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Get a chance to hear yourself on the show. It's really, really cool. So Jesse writes in. This is a really fucking good question. It made me really rack my brain a second ago. But he writes in, I have a question about video game music. I'm by no means a music person, but I do love video game music, and it seems to me that old school / retro music is its own genre and sound, whereas modern games have mostly, for years, basically just started having orchestral music similar to movies. Indie and smaller games emulate the retro music, so there hasn't really been a distinct new type of video game music since the retro days. Do you agree? What do you think this is, or why do you think this is, rather? If you don't, what would you consider contemporary distinctly video game music?
I think I have to agree, but I think it's because video games are more like a control. Like, you really can't just have some music playing. You kind of have to go, it's like a score.
Yeah.
You know, they're more, this is just me going off the cuff. I probably have to think a little bit more, but they're more cinematic in nature, so that's the wave now. So mm-hmm. it's scorey.
Yeah, and, yeah.
You know, so I think that's why.
Yeah,
I think that's what that is.
It's a really solid question, because brief little history lesson. But back in the day when they were making games on the Sega Genesis or the Super Nintendo or whatever, there were designated sound chips mm-hmm. that were trying their best to recreate, notes and tones. And as a result, because the limitations at the time of the hardware, they could only produce notes and tones of a specific kind of sound.
Yeah.
And it was very not synth, but for the Genesis, 100%. But they had a very specific sound to them. And I think as a result, we really associate them with video games, because no one was really making music like that. Because they could just record instruments. Mm-hmm. They could literally just record live instrumentation until the point where hardware got to the point where it could faithfully reproduce an 808 or a hi-hat or whatever. So I think that's, obviously the reason why we sort of associate those sounds with video game music. And I don't think it was 1,000% intentional, because with the Sega Genesis, for example, I remember hearing Streets of Rage 2's music and being yo, this sounds actual music.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds incredible.
Yeah, no, it was club music.
Yeah, it was 100% club and dance music.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, when you hear a song on a Game Boy, which has now become its own genre of music, chiptune music, where people are literally hacking up Game Boys and other game consoles to reproduce these faithful sounds. I love when a song has some sort of video game sample in it, or recreates a specific sound chip. If it sounds like a Game Boy song, or it's not like it just has a sample or whatever, has a melody or even a pad or whatever, I think it's really cool. But Yeah, nowadays, I think game music has just gotten to a point where it's like, yeah, it just sounds like music because it no longer has those limitations. But I will say there are like some songs or some genres that I now just sort of associate with video game music. So like, I don't know when I would often hear something like Patapon, but if I ever, but you know, when you hear that, you immediately associate it with that sort of rhythm based, like really cutesy art style. Yeah, exactly. And like pat-da, yeah, it's like really cool shit. And it's usually like associated with a very specific mechanic. So if I hear industrial, like heavy, like fast music, I'm like, oh, that sounds like Thumper, or I visualize Thumper. So there are things where like I don't think video game music necessarily I don't think it needs to do that anymore, but I like when it's very well thought out. And the way we thought about typography with Control, if music is incorporated in the same way, then it's like easy to be like, oh yeah.
I think the only other genre, you kind of like jog my memory, but like I think the only genre that's doing like music is like fighting games. And like even like Tekken, like they're doing like dance fucking music.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
that's true.
And it's not like old chiptune-y shit. It's like real like dance Japanese style, like arcade-y music. Like it's, I don't know how to describe it, but it is its own kind of thing. You don't really hear that anywhere else outside of like a racing game, maybe.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Like, cause like you wouldn't like hear that on the radio.
No.
You wouldn't buy that.
Yeah,
music.
You wouldn't buy it necessarily. But yeah, and some of that shit is like, those are some bops. Like,
Yeah.
I think of Tekken specifically because I dance to that shit.
Yeah. I also like when, you know, a franchise that has existed for a long time, like Zelda, for example.
Yeah.
Like Breath of the Wild, I thought had amazing music.
It does.
And my favorite song, I think in the past like fucking 10, 15 years, comes from that game, the Hatano Village song with like the accordions and the way it sounds at night. Like, to me, that sounds like, you know, a beautiful evolution of like what we heard in Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask. Actually, I forgot to mention that too. Over the weekend, last weekend, my kind of unrelated, but my nephew, he's super into games, and he was playing Majora's Mask on his 3DS, a game that I've like been on record of like not liking, but seeing him play it and put together like how to solve things, I helped him with one puzzle, and it like blew his mind. He's like, oh my, he's like, that's so cool. So yeah, like,
and that game was too scary for me at that age,
man. It is kind of spooky, actually. That moon is still terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is such a good question. Like, it makes me curious as to when we're gonna sort of see games. It's tough, right? Because like games have gotten to the point where like, yeah, music is now its own thing, and those limitations that created that sound, that's not why that wasn't the intent of what they were trying to do.
Right.
Their intent was always to try to like squeeze out some music out of this thing because we only had so much onboard RAM.
But it was doing so amazing shit. Like, look up, there's a group, this house, old school like Detroit house group called Inner City, and they have a song called Big Fun. And that shit is Streets of Rage.
Like, yeah.
It's just straight up Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
And like, how do you recreate that sound? Like, I just don't understand. Like, how, what's his name? That did Streets of Rage.
Oh, Yuzo.
Yeah, Yuzo. Like, how did he fucking hear that and was like, oh, I'm going to do that shit on a fucking...
on a Sega Genesis.
On a computer. Literally ones and zeros and...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man.
I think it's also like the sounds that Jesse's talking about are like very tied to... the technology, you know, they slammed that door. That is very tied to like the tech of the 80s too. It's like those synth heavy tracks and like, you know, those drum patterns.
I think also that's why like the 80s kind of get a bad rap in general. Just like people kind of glance over the 80s like it wasn't like this great time for music, because it has a very distinct sound, because it was like the newest thing. It was like we got this fucking computer now.
Yeah.
We're going to make some sense yet.
Yeah.
We're going to do air drums. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
So I think that's all kind of tied together. I think it's more about, like, the technology, like you said. Like, I don't think it was necessarily intentional. I just think it was, like, people working with what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the games are and technology has gone past that, it's like, yeah, we can just put strings.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can put guitars and, like, you can, you know, build for it. You
yeah,
know?
Unless it's Dragon Quest XI.
And that's not taken away from anything that came before, but it's just, I think it's just different. That's a really cool thought, provoking question.
Good ass job, Jesse. All right, cool. Jumping into Feeling It. Feeling It is where we take one thing that we absolutely love from the past week that we stumbled across that we think is worth sharing.
Yeah, I'll go. This kind of surprised me, but like the other day I saw a tweet and was like, oh, Sir, who's an R&B artist, has a new album out. And I was like, excuse me? Like out already? And I guess it came out like the weekend before this past weekend. But good ass album. I love his first, the previous album. I was my feeling it like last year or the year before. And that was the first time I had heard of him. Again, on Twitter, someone just posted a video of his single from that album. And I was like, who the fuck is this? It's like just hitting, like, his music is just very different. Like, it's R&B, but it's not, like, he's always telling, like, a story, and he's always saying stuff that, like, we're thinking, like, about relationships and whatnot. And it's just really good fucking vibes, man. He's on TDE, so he always has these really good features. Production's always great. So it's called Chasing Summer. And it's out. If you like R&B, or if you want to try a new genre and you don't really like R&B, I would give it a look, give it a sound.
Nice.
You know, it's real cool. It's real vibey. It's one of those like driving albums you just put on from front to back and you'll like something on it. Nice. You'll definitely like something on it.
Yeah. I mean the first song on the album with Kendrick, I love that song. And I mentioned to you, I was like, I was surprised that the album came out too, cause I didn't know either. So I was like, oh, this is good to know. I just added it on Spotify.
Do you think it's easier for artists to be able to like, just surprise put shit them. Out like that?
I think so.
Like,
I think
Beyonce model is the way to go now,
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I think some people can afford to, like, I think maybe like some already established people can do that, but like, it's like, interesting.
An act like Sir,
yeah,
who's not like super mainstream, like you wouldn't really hear any of his stuff on the radio.
Yeah,
like how can he be so successful? I think, you know, with dropping an album just like that, I don't know. It's just amazing to me that you can just do that.
Streaming era, man. That's why most of these songs now, they don't go past 3 minutes.
Oh, so they can get the credit and shit.
So they can be played again.
That's crazy.
So like it just doubles your chances to get more revenue.
That's crazy.
It's the world we live in. Speaking of which, two of mine are streaming shows on Netflix. They're actually, I don't think they're Netflix originals, but the first one is an anime that I'm sure some of you've heard of called Carolyn Tuesday. It's a really, really wholesome, really beautiful anime made by what's his name, Watanabe, the guy who did
Cowboy Bebop.
And you know, Samurai Champloo and
Space
all my
Dandy.
And one of my favorites, Kids on the Slope
is good.
Oh, I love that. And it has a lot in common with Kids on the Slope, actually. So it follows it follows two girls, you know, who the show is named after, Carol and Tuesday, who are both singer-songwriters, and they're trying to collaborate and work on music together. And it's super, super wholesome. That's pretty much all you need to know about it. It's about their sort of like rise to, I guess, their legendary status. Because like the show kind of starts off, light spoilers, for the first 2 minutes of Carol and Tuesday, but they're already like this huge hit. And it's like, oh, let's go back to the beginning. So it's like you're sort of seeing like what it would have been like for, like, I don't know, the Beatles to have met each other or whatever. Or, I don't know, whoever. There's actually I haven't seen it yet, but there's a Hulu, a drama series on Wu-Tang. I kind of want to watch that.
Yeah, I heard it's interesting. It's like how, like, RZA, his brother, got everybody together.
Yeah, because, I mean, have you seen Of Mice and Men?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's actually really good.
But I heard this one is like this weird like fantasy telling of their journey.
Oh, okay.
And it's cool because like it's they're all acted by like
rappers.
Oh, and
yeah.
Like Dave East plays Method Man.
Yeah.
Some other rapper is playing.
Is Joey Badass in it?
Joey Badass is playing Inspector Deck, if I'm not mistaken. But I heard they haven't even appeared yet. But
yeah, that makes me want to watch it too.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's like these cool up and coming rappers who have. I mean, it's hard to admit that like, they haven't been influenced by Wu-Tang. I think everybody on the
and
world has been influenced.
Those are the rappers that are very clear about their influence. And you can just tell they're just caliber of rap Like, Davies is a fantastic rapper. Yeah. Joey Badass is one of the greatest. Like, I think he's a pure talent, like, with rap skill.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm just interested in it.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I kind of want to watch that, too. But, but Carol on Tuesday is, like, the complete opposite. It's a, like, super, super wholesome story about these, like, two girls who are, like, overcoming their own personal demons while also trying to struggle with, like, you know, success and the what that brings and even just, like, getting your foot in the door, like, in a lot of ways. And it's accompanied by, I mean, I think the people who, I forget who the team that makes it, I think it's Bones, I believe, the animation team, who, like, they have a proven track record of, like, making really cool shit. But it's animated really well. The art style is really cool. It takes place on Mars, so it's, like, a whole different, like, it's, I mean, it's basically New York City, but it's, like, New York if it was on Mars. So there's, like, obvious things that are weird about it. They're, like, there's, like, a weird halo thing, and there's weird biomes and shit. But, yeah, it's really, really good. So in addition to that, like, the music in the show is, like, all very much, like, pop-themed. And it all comes with, like, these animated, like, music videos, basically. So you're just watching these really cool, like, almost, like, rotoscope performances of people performing, like, very much Kids on the Slope. And the music's really catchy. And then there are a couple times where, like, they go to, like, a music festival, for example. And I was like, that sounds like somebody I know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is that Thundercat? And it was Thundercat.
Oh, that's fucking cool. So
they had
cool.
Flying Lotus and Thundercat of in the show. Yeah. And they have, like, so they'll have, you know, music by other artists in the show, and they'll have, like, you know, the anime equivalent to, like, FKA Twigs or whatever. So it's, like, it's pretty cool. I mean, I love it. If you love music, it's really cool. The story doesn't have that many, like, you know, drastic hurdles. Like, the stakes never get so intense. To borrow the phrase again, it's like a pretty easy, like, slope. Like, it nothing really, like, it's never something that, like, oh my god, this guy died or he got his head chopped off. It's always just, like,
drama.
They figure it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, like, very small drama, but they usually figure it out. But it's very wholesome in that way. The intro, and the one thing I hate about Netflix, though, is that, like, at the end of every episode, it's like skipped. It's like next skips episode five, ending. Four. Yeah. I'm like, no way! No, I want to listen to this shit. Yeah. Listen to this shit, or it skips the intro for each episode. And like, I want to actually listen to this thing. Anyway, the other Netflix show that I've been watching is actually called The Naked Director. This showed up on my feed very randomly, but it's essentially the story of how, like, I guess one of the it's based on a true story. So I'm assuming a lot of it actually has taken place. And it's about a former encyclopedia salesman in Japan who becomes, like, this porn director and becomes, like, the head of this porn empire in Japan, especially, like, during the 80s, during the bubble in Japan, where, like, they were experiencing, like, super, like, wild economic growth and, like, they were struggling with how to maintain it all. And that's why eventually it popped in a lot of ways. But what's cool is that, like, you're seeing that side of Japan in the 80s that, like, you've seen in, you know, countless other movies and stuff. But specifically for me, I, like, tie it directly to something like Yakuza. It has a very similar tone to the Yakuza series where it's, like, it's serious. It's about, like, you know, literally, like, the Yakuza are involved with, like, the cops and crooked cops and other porn industry people who are, like, corrupt and have their hands in other people's, you know, pockets and stuff. And, but it's also, like, people breaking into that scene and then struggling. It's like Breaking Bad, basically.
Yeah.
And but it's so funny, it's super ridiculous, it's extremely horny, so there's, like, a lot of, like, sex, and there's a lot of really, like, gratuitous, you know, nudity and stuff. So be forewarned, everybody, like, if you don't want to watch that kind of thing, you know, steer clear of this thing, because it's all about porn and, like, you know, performing and stuff. But there's also, like, really it's really well written. There are so many interactions with characters that are, like, power play scenes, but they're also, like, really cool character arcs, specifically for the main character who's the director. But then there's also, like, a performer who you'll get to meet eventually. You see her sort of, like, backstory, and you sort of see it coming, like, where she's headed and where her interests lie, and essentially, like, what the story kind of, I don't want to give away too much, but, like, the idea of, you know, challenging the rules and breaking those rules, but then also, like, you know, showing that, like, yeah, people want to see this stuff. Like, there's an obvious demand for this stuff. Right. And as much as people like to, like, that they don't, you know, as much as people like to talk about how they don't watch it or whatever, it's still like one of the most popular.
Yeah, we're watching it.
Yeah, everybody's watching it. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, more likely than not, you're watching this shit.
Yeah, and it's kind of like this really cool tale of like, yeah, I mean, I'm providing a thing to people, and like I wanna embrace it, and I'm proud of it. And it's like, you know, it's actually kind of really heartwarming in so many ways, but it's also like, it gets kind of dark sometimes, and it's really, really good.
What is this
song? So funny. It's on Netflix.
Oh shit, I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah,
it sounds good.
If you like Yakuza, it's like, especially if you like Yakuza Zero, it's basically Yakuza Zero with porn. It's so good.
Shit, shout out to porn.
All right, cool. So before we wrap up the show, how can the people find you online?
At Cappy Can't Lose on Twitter and Instagram. What about you, man?
I am Pauly Mayo. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, so you can follow me on there. It's Pauly, as in Mario, Ayo. Yeah, talk to me on Twitter. I'm pretty active on there. Yeah, so man. Yeah, if you have any, thank you so much for listening this week, everybody. We really appreciate it. If you have any questions or comments, send them over to questions@the-optional.com. We would love to hear from you.
You guys have been killing questions,
seriously,
man.
Seriously. And if you like the show and want to subscribe, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, and Spotify. If you could take that extra minute, though, and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever it's called, please do so. It really, really helps us out. Take the 5 minutes right now if you're at your desk at work or if you're somewhere on your phone.
Yeah,
open up. Review us real quick. 5 stars, 5 words. Something really, really short and sweet if you want. And if you like the show and want to even support us further, you can go to our Anchor profile at anchor.fm/theoptionalpodcast. Where you can hit the little supporter button and give us as low as $1 a month. Put a little tip in the tip jar for us. We really, really appreciate it. It really does go a long way. Every little bit helps. Our homepage is theoptionalpodcast.com. That's where you can find the show and share it with your friends. As always, we can be reached on Facebook at facebook.com. Oh, actually, no, we can't. I got to remove that from the copy. I keep almost
gone.
Wanting to read that. I literally deleted my Facebook.
Yo, ain't no more Russians in this motherfucker, man.
That's it. Cambridge Analytica, suck it. We're on Twitter, though, so you can still find us.
Yeah, I'll post on there.
The Optional NYC on Twitter. If you want to follow us, you can also find the links to our profiles on there. So, you know, follow us individually, too. Our show's music is by the one and only Levi Pack.
Shout out to Levi, man.
You can find that legend on Twitter at @LeviPack. So until next time, everybody.
Peace. Stay in control.
Yeah, don't have heated gaming moments live on the internet.